Just to recap for a minute, we'll be learning. We're up to towards the end of Siman Tofrei Samach Tal, and that's what we're going to be doing today. Metz Hashem, I hope to get to the end of the Siman, which is page 268, and then the next week we'll be completing. You see that if you carry on until page 27, you see page 274 in our booklet, the Hilchos Chanukah, which we have learned. So if it's just literally 5 days of learning. And when we hit Hilchos Chanukah, which is going to be Mitzvah Hashem third today in a week, we're going to switch then onto Hilchos Purim, which works out so beautifully. With Gvaldiga Ashkocha, it's going to work out. And when we start on Sunday in 1.5 weeks, in 8 days, 9 days, we start Hilchos Purim then. It's going to take us 6 weeks, right? We're going to start Hilchos Purim then. It's going to take us right till Purim. So that works out really, really well. When we get to Hilchos Purim, we then have another. We have still a bit of a Hilchos Sukkos, which we haven't learned yet, which is the previous booklet, which we then have to complete, and then we'll have done everything. And I think the system is working. It's really working out very well. Does that make sense to everyone? Yeah, yeah. After the Siyum, Be'ezer Hashem, Be'ezer Hashem, yeah, Mitzvah Hashem. Indeed. Yeah. So we are now not going to be in sync now for. Until the Siyum, we won't be in sync with the issue, because they're actually now, as we can see, they actually started Hilchos Chanukah either today or a couple of days ago. They just started Hilchos Chanukah, so we're a little bit out of sync with them. But by the time we reach the Siyum, we'll be with them, Mitzvah Hashem. Yeah, that's the plan. Should be okay. Okay, right. We're going to be learning. We are up to Siman Tofreish Samech Dalet, and we are up to. We're in the middle of Siv Zayin, up to the words V'kosav Oid. We're still learning the halachas with regards to the Oshanes, as to whether you should be holding the Oshanes together with the lulav or not with the lulav. So I'm starting with the words V'kosav Oid. Furthermore, the line starts with the word Ledvorov. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. The line starts with the word Ledvorov, and I'm just reading the words V'kosavad. And furthermore, the gam achanetile v'na'anua, even after you fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, of Abba Minim, tzorich litfos ha'arov levado, you still need to hold the arov as the Oshanes levado separately. Lehakir shichoivo. Even as the opinion that we're learning now says, that you should be really holding the Oshanes separately than the Dalet Minim. And he continues, V'shaz ha-chavote, when you're hitting them, yitlenu b'fnei atzmo, hold them separately, v'yoytze b'yde chavosoi. So based on that, the Ramah continues and says the following, V'aminik poshut, the custom is as follows. So the Ramah says the minik is as follows. Litoil ho'arova im alulev, See if we have the same minig. We're going to check if we have the same minig of the Ramah. The minig is, says the Ramah, to take the Hoshanas together with the Lulav, Beshachis, during Shachis, Beshaz ha-Nanua, Uveshaz ha-Kofa, Achaz ha-Chavota, we hold them together, the Dalet Minim, together with the Hoshanas during the Halal and during the Na'anuim, when we fulfill the mitzvah, until we hit the Oshanes. Then you're going to only take, when it comes to the hitting, we put the Dalet Minim down, and we hold the Oshanes only. Is that the minik? No, it's not the minik. We don't hold them together, do we? Anybody holds them together? Do you hold them together? Do you hold them at any point together? The Lulav?
While you do the Chazakah?
Yeah. No. So that's what actually the Ramah does say. V'yoyza toiv, it's better yet, says, Shiloi litleim alulav kal. Do not hold the Oshanes together with the lulav. At no point. He said, that's the best you can do. V'av hanoitleim alulav, and even if you do hold it with the lulav, nira li sheach sheikiv, after you're going around, yasir alulav miyodu v'yechaz ha'arova. If for the hakafas, you do hold them both together, if somebody insists on holding them together, you should only go around our kofas with them all together, and after our kofas, put it down and just hold the Oshanes. We're just on top of page 268. He says, as long as certainly after you do our kofes, you should certainly put dalet minim down and only hold those shanes. And the emes is, the Mishneh Berurah points out in Sifkot Nechavav that the ideal way is Sifkot Nechavav, Yoyser Tov, three lines from the bottom last column, Yoyser Tov Shalitem Alulov, Kedei Sheikayim Beshleimus Mitzvahs Netilas Harove. He says the best is to first fulfill the mitzvah Dalet Minim separately and then afterwards. At no point hold them together. That's what he adds off for Kenal Zifei. Vigamari hizem eoy da'ari was particularly makpid and careful. Sheloi lechabu arovei malulev. You should never hold the Oshanas together with the Dalet Minim. Don't hold them at no point together. I think some people do. I've definitely seen people who do. Have you seen people who do? That at after they hold that they hold them together? So anyway, the Mishneh Berurah and the Ari says you shouldn't do that. Sifkot Nechav Zayin, Lachshik V'Yasir Alulev, Miod Rotze Loima, Shteloik Moshe Oichzen Alulev, Ima Arova Atcha Asachavote. And the Mishneh Berurah points out here as well, Uvizmaneinu, and nowadays, Hamenek, the custom is, Kmoshe Kosev Ramah, as the Ramah writes, She'ein Noitin Arova Ima Alulev Klal, never hold the Lulev with Arova, with our Shanes. That's Mishneh Berurah Paskins. What is the custom with regards to Hoshanas for the wife? And if I may add to that question, children. What is a minik?
Yeah. We buy.
You buy? Yeah. Is that everybody's minik for your wife? Pardon? You can reuse it, so might as well recycle it. She does, but she does do it, but she doesn't have her own. Yeah? On the over by mitzvah. You buy for over by mitzvah children. Is that what you said? Did I mishear you? Women don't need to do it. Yeah? What's the minhag generally? No? No? Yes, 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 yes. Yeah?
Whoever comes to shul does it. Whoever doesn't go to shul doesn't do it.
Yeah?
It's a minhag. So we mentioned previously that when it comes to Arba Minim, there's a specific women do it. There's a whole question, but it doesn't mention it at all when it comes to Shabbat.
True. Lemaisa, what do many women do? They do? Yeah? Yeah, so I think that the minig is that, it's a minig, this is a Takonas Nevi'im. There is sources, it's true that you're right in what you're pointing out, Mishneh Berurah doesn't emphasize it, but there is sources to say that women should do it as well. There is source for that as well. Again, since it's a minig Nevi'im, it's never been established as a Takona, so one could argue that there's no absolute need, which is correct, but many women do. Thank you. Many women do. In fact, there is even a minhag that some people have based on Rishonim that everybody, even children, even children will have. And there is even a minhag that goes so far that you even buy Hoshanas. This is a minhag. Yeah, I'm not saying this is halacha. It's a minhag that some people even have for babies and for children who can't even hold it. That you buy Hoshanas for children who can't even hold it. It's a minhag which is brought down, if I'm not mistaken, in the Ma'aril. And some people even buy and they buy the half for the children who can't even do it. But this is a minhag and not a halacha. Yeah?
The women who do it, do they go through all the different...
No. No, they will only say Kol Mevasa or Kol Mevasa, and they won't go through all the tchinas of Alam. They won't go through all the tchinas.
That was really the whole point.
But the main kol mevasa is also a tchina, so you're fulfilling that as well. But I think that's what many women do.
So, question: in the Beis Hamikdash, who was it who went round with the Hashanahs? It was just the Kohanim, or was it also the Israelim as well?
So are you saying that that's a reason why it certainly wasn't women? Is that what you're pointing out?
It's an example perhaps of people taking things further than
I hear. I can't answer your question. I don't exactly know where it's coming from. But it's something which is, let me just check over here to the Mishnah Berurah earlier. Yeah. I can't answer your question. I don't know where the source of that is. Yeah. You're quite right. I mean, it was the Kayanim, as the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkot Yud Aleph. Can I just go back to Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Yud Aleph, who goes to the exactly what went on in Beis HaMikdash? I think it may be worthwhile looking at it again. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Yud Aleph said in page 266, Mishnah Berurah said, Noitlin Arova B'yom Zeh, we take the Arovas on that day, Hoshanet, Zeichal HaMikdash, is remembrance to the Beis HaMikdash, Shenetilas Arova, the taking of the Arovas, how Yosham Aloch HaLemosh Misinai, in the Beis HaMikdash, it was Aloch HaLemosh Misinai. Kain Hoya Mitzvasa, that's the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Bechol Yoyim Mishivas HaYomim, every one of the 7 days, Hoya Mivin Arovas, he used to take Arovas, V'zoik V'noiz Ma'akoyenim Atzlo De Mizbeach, and he would place them on the sides of the Mizbeach, V'achakach, and afterwards, Boina'om, the Yidna are coming, V'noit L'noizom Misham, to take them from there. So it would be placed there by the Koyanim were the ones who put them there, and it was the Yidna who would take them away from there, U'menah L'noizom, and they would shake them. Yeah, so that's the way it worked in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, so I can't actually answer where that comes from about the women. Yeah, I can't answer. Don't know where the women were makbid, where that comes from. Yeah, right. I'm not so sure. No, because Marili sounds like, if I'm not mistaken, Marili himself speaks about the children. I remember the words of in the baby cot. Even babies were in the cot still. That was a nusach that I seem to remember from the Maril. He would buy arovas even for in the risois, as he calls it. Women specifically. Yeah, so I'm just answering. It doesn't look like it's such a recent chumra. Doesn't sound like it. Yeah. Okay. We carry on with Seif Ches. Yesh Misha Oima. Now, what do you do with the Oshanas? So we spoke about it briefly the other day, that the Oshanas are often placed on top of the Oin. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskens of exactly what Allah is. Yesh Misha Oima. The Oshanas Sheba Luluf. The Oshanas in Luluf. Avot B'shen Nizrika. Although you can get rid of it, you don't step on it. Okay, important point. You may not step on the Oshanas. He's talking about the Oshanas of the Lulav. He's talking about the Arovas of the Lulav. So the Shulchan Aruch says now, he's going back to the Arovas. Once you're finished using the Dalet, meaning the Arovas, you're not allowed to step on it. You're not allowed to step on Arovas. Mishnah Berurah adds, and Sifkot Chav Dalet, Vodin Arovas Shel Oshanas and Lezalzel Bo. The same halacha, not to be mezalzel, not to be noyik minik bizoyen, not to give it, not to be disrespectful with items that you fulfill the mitzvah with. You mustn't be disrespectful with it. Ein Elzim Chofelik Abetzitzis. So the Ramah says that it's comparable to tzitzis. So imagine if you've got tzitzis that became possible. What's halach? What do you do with tzitzis that became possible, by the way? What do you do with strings or something? Kniza? What do you do with it? Yeah, you can just, very nice. If you put it as a, you can put it in a sefer, yeah? Pardon? Very good. So the emes is, it's nice to put it in a sefer or something. That's very nice. The halach is you mustn't be noig minig bizoyen. That's really how far it goes, really. You mustn't be disrespectful. That means you can't actually just put it in a dustbin. With regards to double wrapping, one could argue that it's okay to do that. Double wrapping and put in a dustbin. One could argue that it's okay. There is reason to be machme in that area. There is reason to be machme, but really, strictly speaking, one could argue that it's not considered a minig bizoyen, double wrapping and put in the dustbin. I'm just saying that one could argue that it's okay. So that's what he says. He says that the Arovas have got this, the Ramah compares the Arovas to tzitzis. So you must know, so what does that mean in concrete terms? What do you do with Arovas? And the same will apply to the Arovas of the Hoshanas as well. If you can't put it on top of the Aron HaKodesh, so what are you meant to do with it? Just don't put it in the dustbin. In concrete, don't put it in the dustbin. What can you do with it? Good. I'm going to get to burning shortly. Besides burning, what else can you do with it?
Just leave it.
Yeah? Where will you leave it? Where will you leave it? Without, because we learned that you're not allowed to step on it. So where are you going to leave it?
In the case,
right? You leave it there, and then until it disintegrates, and then, yeah, yeah. What else? Yeah. That's a good question, and I actually once we discussed that a while ago in the shir, and I afterwards followed that. I actually asked a few rabbanim two dayanim and a rav about the green willows. I got very interesting responses from the dayanim. And I haven't got a concrete answer, so I'm not gonna, I can't, it's an interesting question with regards to the green bins. Because based on what we heard here, that some of you informed me, that it actually doesn't get burnt, it's actually buried, that's often buried, is that true, yeah? And it's often buried and sometimes burnt. So, it's an interesting shaila. Some people argue that you could, wrap it and then put it in the bin. That may be okay. So the ma'aser, the best thing to do is probably, according to many opinions, the best thing to do is to actually burn it. If you can't look after it, burning is not considered a minig bizoyin. It's not considered disrespectful. Burning is like we learned with regards to when many we came across many times that burning is not considered a minig bizoyin. So if you can make a little fire and burn it, that's definitely accepted. That's what the Kavach Haim recommends to do. If that's not possible and feasible, you could argue that you double wrap it and you put it in a bin that is eventually going to burn it. Which bin is that? Which bin is likely to actually eventually burn it? Is green more likely to burn than the regular bins? Recycling, yeah. So whichever bin is more likely to get burnt, which has to be investigated, and if somebody has got access to any of the, it would be interesting to know the facts. If what happens to the regular bins, if it gets burnt, then it's probably okay. But you said that a lot of it just gets buried. If it gets burnt, one could argue that if you double wrap it, put it in a bin, it's all right. Many people keep it. And they burn it with sefer. If you can, if it's possible at all, to use it for sefer chametz, matzah baking, anything like that. If you use that, if you can keep that over for half a year, that's ideal. So again, ideal is if you use it, you can keep it, you can look after it for half a year until you can burn it for a mitzvah. That's the best. Second best is to burn it independently and separately. You burn it. That's also very good. Third best is to double wrap it and to put it in a dustbin that is eventually going to burn it. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's with regards to those. Yeah, that's right. No, definitely. Yeah. Just, yeah, you're right. I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, yeah. Pardon? Yeah, what I was saying is, yeah. That's a good question. It's a good question. Probably, but I'm not 100% convinced. So I think the answer is, pardon? It doesn't sound right, and I think that with regards to tits, a little bit different. So I can't answer your question. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. So that's with regards to, yeah. Just as a little addition, if I can just add, you know what? Can I leave this? It's a story of the Heilige Sam Sofer. I would like to share with you, but can I just finish? Can we just get to the end of Sefer Yudalef before I? Yeah, just I want to get to that story of the Chassam Sofer shortly. Let's just carry on with regards to Sefer Tess. Yesh mi she'oyim asam say she'asur le'nois min harov le'achan etilos. Some say you can't have any benefit from the harovos after you took it. Im lo hisna le'am mikor unless you have made that tznai. Before you used it, the lekula yoyim is katzol mitzvosa because it's muktzol mitzvosa, as mentioned previously. For nagulat, niyah shanes lafias matzik the last by mitzvah, as we mentioned earlier, the minig is that many people, as you pointed out, they keep the hoshanes, whether it's the hoshanes or whether it's the rovers of the lulav, you put it aside for baking of the matzahs, and that's a very nice minig to do. In order to do, no. And the point for that is, I don't know if the Mishnah Berurah points out or no, because it's based on the concept of mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu. That if you're doing a mitzvah with something, it's not considered your own individual or no. Mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu. Seif yud. Yesh misha oyma sam seish eish leizoya. One should be careful, shlo yikoitz, Yisrael, arova le mitzvah. One should be careful that if you're taking arovas, be it for the lulav, be it for the hoshanas, don't take misdei akum. Don't take arovas, hoshanas, from a goyish field, even if he allows you. So if you've got a next door neighbor, and he's got a beautiful arovas tree, don't knock on his door and say, do you mind, can I have some of the some of your, what are they called? Can I take some of your arovas? Even if he lets you, you can't do that. Mishnah Berurah says the reason for that is, in Sifkot Lamed Beis, he says, "Mishum the stam akum kakol shalem gzulois me'achirim," because many of the fields are actually stolen. Your next door neighbor, you know, you may not know, but it might be a stolen property, and therefore ve'ena moil g'shusam lazer. Therefore, even if it's stolen, he can't allow you to take something away. So if he cuts it, even if he cuts it for you, it's going to be a stolen item, and therefore, even if he allows you, it's no good. Now, I want to ask you: is that true nowadays as well? Could it be that your next door neighbor's house and his garden is stolen? No. Very unlikely. Very unlikely. That's what the Mishnah Berurah. Pardon? You never know. Could be. The money might be stolen, but the property that wouldn't go. It's a good point. I like your point, but it doesn't affect the field, the garden, and what grows from there, probably. So the Maisa, the Mishnah Berurah does Paskin in the name of the Taz, that Bizman Azel Loya Amrin on the Stam Gzulinheim. He argues on the Shulchan Aruch, and it's nowadays, you don't have to suspect that your next door neighbor stole the property. You don't have to go that, maybe his car, I don't know, but that's how far it wouldn't go. You don't have to assume that the property is stolen. And therefore it's actually okay. Well, that's what Mishnah Berurah says. So it's fine. And finally, see if you dalet im chaloy im Hoshana Rabbah b'yom Rishon, if Hoshana Rabbah fell on Sunday, because to the kechov ma'arav b'Shabbos, and goyim cut the arav on Shabbos, they view, and they brought it on Sunday. So the goyim cut arav on Shabbos, and they brought it on Sunday. It's kosher. So again, the arovas were cut on Shabbos by Goyim, and they delivered it on Sunday. That's okay. The Ramah says, "Miuim tziva Yisrael lekatzuto v'ikep behesi bedava." If it was the Yid who made an order and he asked some goyish workers, "Do you mind to cut fresh arovas on Sunday on Shabbos for us to use on Sunday?" If a Yid asked it and he gave an order in, that's no good. Yesh le'achmi im yesh le'arov aches. You should use some other arovas if you can. So again, the halacha is if goyim cut arovas for Yidden, they cut it on Shabbos and delivered it on Sunday, that's okay. You can use them with greatest pleasure. However, the Ramah adds, if the Yid gave it an order and he requested that the Goyim should do their work on Shabbos, then you shouldn't use them on Sunday. If he did it himself, it's one thing. But if the Goy was asked to do that, you gave it an order, you requested it, then it's a problem. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Mishnah Berurah says that there is some machmir, even in the former case that the goyim did it on their own accord. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Lamed Gimel that they are machmirim on that. That's Mishnah Berurah passing in Lamed Gimel. I just want to finish off with the story of the Chasam Sofer, which I may have mentioned once. Please stop me if I did. Chasam Sofer had a very. Do you hear that? I think that's a very good point. You should never interrupt when there's a story about a tzaddik. That's a good. I like that. It's a nice thought. The Heilige Chasam Sofer, who was a Rav and Rosh Yeshiva in Pressburg, he had a very prestigious yeshiva. And it was very hard to get into yeshiva. It was quite hard to get into yeshiva. And he was once, only sukkahs, there would be acceptance for Bochim, only sukkahs. And Bochim would flock from all over the country, from all over Hungary, they would come, and they would try to get acceptance to yeshiva. And it was quite hard, and Chasam Sofer personally would forhear the potential Bochim. And at one point, He was verheard those two bochim who came from two cities. They came and they verheard, and one of them was particularly advanced in his learning, and the other one was not so great. And the Chassam Sofer will never say on the spot. Apparently, that's what they write. That the Chassam Sofer will never say on the spot if you accept it or not. You have to come back the next day. The next day, the two bochim came back. And very interestingly, the one who did so well was particularly advanced in his learning. And Chassam Sofer forehead him, he did so extremely well. He was actually not accepted in yeshiva. And surprise, surprise, the one who was pretty weak, he was the one who actually got accepted to yeshiva. The Chassam Sofer, Rav Avraham Shmuel ben Yamin Sofer, the Chassam Sofer's second oldest son, who was his successor in yeshiva, he asked his father. He was present, and he asked father, "Why do you? I don't understand. Why is it so sounds so strange? Bocho did so well. He's so advanced in his learning. He's not accepted. And the other bocho, who is pretty weak, you're accepting him with open hands. Why is that?" Chaim Sofer explained. He said, "You know, they. I saw them by the forehead. They did." But after the fair, I saw them walking out. It was just after Sukkot. And I saw them walking out of my house. And I saw one of them, the bocha, who did particularly well, who was very advanced in his learning, he stepped on the schach. He stepped on the schach as he was going away from my house after the fair. The other one, they were walking together, the other one didn't step on the schach. He walked around it. He bypassed, he walked around it. Yeah, okay, good question. So maybe they had to dry it after, British type of sukkahs. They had to dry it. So and he said that the person stepping on the schach, he was got no sensitivity towards the schach. You know, last week you fulfilled the mitzvah with it. Last week you fulfilled the mitzvah with it. Last week it was so choshev to you, such a precious, unique mitzvah of sukkah, and now you can step on it. That shows that you're not really machshiv. You don't find the beauty. You don't see the beauty of the mitzvahs, and I don't want to accept a bracha like that. The other one, even if he's weak in learning, but he bypasses schach and he doesn't step on it naturally. He can't get himself together to step on the schach. That kind of bracha, I want to accept. I welcome to my yeshiva. The story carries on, and that part I'm not sure it's 100% true. I heard it once from a descendant, but I don't know if it's true or not. People claim, the descendants claim, that other bocha, who was not as advanced as the other one, who got accepted yeshiva, he eventually became the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik was one of the foremost Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. Shalas and Chuvas Maram Shik is one of the most important Chuvas of that generation. Chuvas Mamash, very, very, you one of the Gdolim of that generation. They claim that it was the Maram Shik who was actually that, who developed into one of the Gdolim of the greatest Talmid of Chassam Sofer, who became one of the Gdolei Hador, one of the leaders of the generation. That part of the story, I'm not, but that's what the descendants claim anyway. That's very interesting, and that's based obviously on that feeling of the Cheshivas of Mitzvah. Yeah, that's it. We resume on Sunday Mitzvah.